How you doing, family? My name's Aaron. I'm an addict. Like to thank Almighty God for the privilege and the honor and opportunity to be here to share my experience, dreams, and hopes in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm truly appreciative and humbled and thankful for this awesome and great opportunity. I'd like to begin by first of all saying that I want to thank the committee for asking me and inviting me to come and share my experience, dreams, and hopes. I have to honestly admit that this convention right here is the best convention in the entire East Coast. I love coming to this convention here because the energy that's here at this convention is built with passion. And I want to say that as an introduction because I want to make sure that it's known that I love and I value Narcotics Anonymous. And when we can get together like this, it's an awesome thing when we come together like this and kill the disease. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. We're talking about winning. We're talking about winning over a disease that is deadly, it's crafty, and it's wicked. I want to thank my wife who's present with me today. I want to thank God for all of her support. And I don't say this because she's here, but I am the man that I am because of what she has stood behind and supported me with. So I give honor to my wife. I want to give honor to my friend Tex. I've had the opportunity to share with her, and we have a friendship where we don't have to see each other a whole lot. But when I see her, does my heart good. I'm really, really feeling good to know that, you know, I'm sharing with her because I like her energy, I like her vibe, and I appreciate her message. It's a wonderful thing when you can come to this platform and you're not in competition. It's a wonderful thing when you can come in Narcotics Anonymous and you can be authentically free. You ain't got to come down here and it ain't got to be a show, it ain't got to be this, it ain't got to be that. You can authentically come and share who you are. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to do that when you've been trapped as long as I have. The topic today is the triangle of self-obsession. One of the best topics and pamphlets in Narcotics Anonymous. Because it goes to the core of our problems. It goes to the core of our problems. See, because I am very, very manipulative by nature, meaning that I've used some mechanisms coming up to try to manipulate the truth that was staring me right in the face, I need to be able to be confronted directly with the core of my problem. I need not to be playing with this thing. I need to know that this disease is after my life. And it'll settle for dissatisfaction. If I'm not living right, it'll settle for me being unhappy. If my spirit's dead, I have no fulfillment of my purpose. In the pamphlet, it talks about the natural process of development. The natural process for a natural child's development is different than it is for an addict who's been crippled by the disease of addiction. Because I know most of you have already heard it said that the minute that you start using drugs, you stunted your growth. You stunted your growth. And that's not always physically, that's mentally and emotionally. Because you still can grow in age by numbers, but you can be stifled spiritually in your spirit, and your emotional instability can cause you to be in an adult body but respond like a child. See, this pamphlet deals with not actions, it deals with the reactions. It deals with how I respond to situations in my life. And because of my distorted belief systems, if I'm not careful, my response will be one that's based in selfishness and self-centeredness. I know we don't like to read in here, but guess what? I believe in the literature. I came to this program at 17 years old originally. Came in this program at 17 years old. It was clear to me at an early age that I had a serious problem. Not just that, but I needed some real serious help. And at 17 years old, I came and I played with the program. I thought my condition was not that severe. See, because you can come here and go to meetings, but not really be honest about the nature and the condition that you're in. So you'll come here and you'll get clean time, but you won't really grow spiritually. Because you haven't really accepted the fact, not just how bad your condition is, but the nature of your condition is chronic and it's critical. And it wasn't until a couple years being here that I took the disease seriously after coming around here and getting all of the external stuff that we get. You can get some stuff here and still be dying spiritually. The outside can look good, and the inside will be deprived, it'll be desperate, it'll be hopeless, and it won't have no peace. And no matter how good you share, if you ain't all right with you, it don't mean anything. You gotta have the peace inside of you that says, guess what? When nobody's looking, do I love me? When nobody's around, do I have an accountability for my life that says, guess what? I have adapted a moral compass that says, guess what? I just don't want to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want the consequences that come along with bad choices. I'm going to get into this, man. I come to share. I don't come to play. I come to share. When I got clean years ago, I originally got clean when I was 19 years old. And when I got clean, man, years ago, guess what? You came to topic meetings because you was desperate to hear something about the topic. You came to the topic meeting with an expectation that I wanted to hear, how can I get out of that thing that topic says that I'm trapped in? How do I get clarity in my life so I can be able to be free, authentically free, not free behind this pipe right here? I know you don't want to hear that, but some of us have got addicted to this thing, and this thing becomes the new pipe. It's all about how much I share, how many tapes I sell, all about the people that know my name. It's not about authentic freedom. It's about social acceptability. The triangle of self-obsession. The reason why it's a triangle is because the core of it is self-obsession. And the core of it is self-obsession for this very reason. Listen to what it says. When we were born, we were conscious only of ourselves. We are the universe. We perceive little other than our basic needs. And if these needs are not met, then we are not content. We're talking about peace and wholeness right there, people. We're talking about not needing outside things to validate who I am. Can I be authentically free when I attach a spiritual principle to a dysfunction? Can I be free? Can I be free inside of myself when there's something on the inside of me that's not thriving for social acceptability? Can I be free and not be insecure when somebody says something about me? Can I take it as a teaching moment and not take it as direct criticism that there's something wrong with me? Can I take it and say, guess what? God sent that so I can grow. And if I dismiss that, then I may miss my blessing. As our conscious, this is a program that deals with our body, our mind, and our spirit. Your conscience is in your spirit. It has a voice that operates out of your mind. And what you do in your mind controls your body, which then gives you your actions. When I got clean years ago, it was called the ABCs. Attitudes, behaviors, and consequences. Whatever you're thinking, you will then act out of as a response of what it is that you're thinking, you'll have your behaviors. Then after your behavior comes your consequences. But listen to this point. As our consciousness expands, we become aware of a world outside of ourselves. We discover that there are people, places, and things around us, and that they fulfill our needs. At this point, we also begin to recognize differences and develop preferences. What they're talking about here, people, is they're talking about that the normal process that you go through as a child. You should grow through the process with help and assistance first. You don't just start riding a bike without the training wheels. The training wheels are there to help stabilize you so you don't fall. But you can't always be 30 years old riding with training wheels on. If you're 30 years old and you're riding with training wheels on, it's because you haven't applied the spiritual principle of acceptance and responsibility. A natural child develops this way. He goes through the natural process of depending on outside things to meet his needs because in his own self, he has not developed the spirit of self-sufficiency yet. See, self-sufficiency says that now that I understand that all of my needs can't be met by others, I begin to start to make an investment in my own self to be able to start to stand on my own. That they are only there temporary to be able to assist me and facilitate me into the process of being whole, of being on my own, of developing a sense of independence. But if I don't operate and accept the things, the help that's coming to me, I'll shortchange myself by crippling myself by thinking that, guess what? I can do this thing without any help. And that's where we go wrong. We come here with an attitude of indifference and intolerance. Our literature says that we have an attitude of indifference and intolerance towards what? Spiritual principles. You know what spiritual principles produce? Structure. You know what dope things don't want? Oh, structure. You tell them what to do, they want to tell you why you can't tell them what they can't do, because they are grown a man. But you are grown a man, but you don't even handle your own grown man responsibilities. You don't operate and function from a level of responsibility where you see the need and respond without somebody having to tell you about it. A real man owns his responsibility, and that has to be dictated to you. You know the bills coming on the end of the month. You got 29 days of preparation. So ain't no need to act like no damn child and say when the bill come, I didn't know that I had to pay the bill. You got 29 days of preparation. By the 28th day, you should already be willing to put the money on the table. It says we learn to want and to choose. We are the center of a growing universe and expect to be provided for with the things we need and want. Our source of contentment shifts from basic needs miraculously met to the fulfillment of our desires. Now I want to read this part and then I'm going to put this piece of the literature down and then I'm going to tell you how I respond to anger, how I respond to resentment, and how I respond to fear. I'm going to talk to you about my past. I'm going to talk to you about my present. And I'm going to speak to you about my future. And then I'm going to wrap you up with how all that ties in to a selfish heart and selfish mind when it's operated under no sense of supervision and control. Believe me, I got you on this thing. For all that came out to hear this thing, I got you. I guarantee you, I got you. I'm going to let text do her thing, but I got you. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to let text do her thing. Because when you operate out of dysfunction, she's going to tell you why hurt people hurt people. Because when issues go unresolved, guess what they do? They manifest themselves on the outside.
So when you see somebody acting a fool, stop judging them. Start asking them what's going on with you. Why are you behaving this way? Because there's something that you're not addressing that's causing you a lot of suppressed anger that you now have suppressed for so long that everything you do, it shows up in your character. This is what most children do. And then this is what addicts do. Most children, through experiences over a period of time, come to the realization that the outside world cannot provide all their wants and needs. They begin to supplement what is given to them with their own efforts. As their dependency on people, places, and things decreases. Now, that's what it should do. It should decrease. They begin to look to themselves more and more. Most continue to mature. They become more self-sufficient and learn that happiness and contentment comes from within. Most continue to mature. They recognize and they accept their strengths, weaknesses, and their limitations. At some point, they usually seek the help of a power greater than ourselves to provide the things that we cannot provide for ourselves. For most people, growing up is a natural process. And this is my point I want to get you. That's the process for most people. But the process for me is that I started using drugs at an early age. At 12 years old, I was smoking weed, I was sniffing dope, and I was smoking, and I was doing everything that I was big enough and bad enough to do. Because in my house, I wanted to be free from being in bondage, just thinking that I could never ever do what I wanted to do. So when I got the opportunity to do what I wanted to do, I did it like I've never ever tried to do it before. And because of that, I had to deal with the consequences that come along with putting a chemical in your body that then takes over your body and then takes over your mind and then starts dictating to you where you're going to go, how you're going to get up, where you're going to move, how you're going to respond, and what you're going to take, how you're going to take it, where you're going to steal it from, how you're going to sell it, what you're going to do with it. It begins to start to dictate the cycle that you now have no control over. Listen what this says. This is our literature, guys and girls. Listen to this. This is our literature. Our literature says as addicts, however. I like the way it did that. As addicts, however. It means that guess what? That may be for them, but this deals with you. We ain't talking about that child over there no more. We're talking about a now an adult that's operating like a child because when he started using, he stunted his growth emotionally and spiritually, and now that he's a grown man, he operates still emotionally like a child. As addicts, however, we seem to falter along the way. We never seem to outgrow the self-centeredness of the child. We never seem to find the self-sufficiency that others do. We continue to depend on the world around us and refuse to accept that we will not be giving everything. We become self-obsessed. Our wants and our needs now becomes demands. Listen to what this says. It says that I skipped past the natural process and then I came out of an adult body with an immature spirit and now I'm demanding what I want. I ain't did nothing to earn it, but I'm now demanding what I want. We reach a point where contentment and fulfillment are impossible. People, places, and things can't possibly fill the emptiness inside of us. And listen what it says. And we react. Didn't say actions. It says how we responded. That's the key to this, is how are we responding? Because our response level, based on how we respond, dictates our level of maturity. How we respond to situations says whether or not you are mature, whether or not you put the training wheels away. Now are you walking on your own, and you walking upright, and you standing strong, and ain't nobody there holding your back when you fall. So when you don't do something, ain't nobody there to catch you. That's what the response is. as we react to them with resentment, anger, and fear. Anger is a natural emotion that, if distorted out of its natural content, can become deadly. Anger suppressed in hostility can produce violence. Listen to what I said, people. Anger that's housed and shaped in hostility means there's an underlying burning fire under the anger. And if it's something burning under the anger, all you need is just one thing to ignite. And once you ignite, violence becomes the way of life. So anger for me went unchecked, because anger for me was always my reaction to my current condition. Whenever you are in denial and somebody tells you the truth, the first thing you do is you get angry. You know why you get angry? Because you wanted to live in denial. You didn't want to deal with the truth that, guess what? You got to grow up, young man. You can't get the things that you want from manipulating other people and trying to find ways and means to manipulate conditions. You got to grow up. If you're going to be a man, act like a man. And it ain't about swinging no ding ding. I'm a man. That don't make you no man. Somebody said it, I ain't had to say it for them. But anger, anger, anger. I was always angry, and I didn't know why I was angry. And guess what? When I did the work, it was because I thought that my father was supposed to be there, and he wasn't. So underneath my anger was abandonment. See, you got to start dealing with root causes here. You got to start dealing with surface stuff. The outward expression is not really what the core issue is. The core issue is that there's something that you feel as though that you should have had that you didn't have. And when you see other people having it, you automatically equate the fact that something is dysfunctionally wrong with you. So why is it that they're happy when they had what they were supposed to have? I didn't have what I thought that I should have. So now I don't have it. There's a contradiction between my reality and my beliefs. Resentment. Why am I so resentful? I'm resentful because when I look back at my past, I believe I tie my past into fairness and justice. What I mean by that is that when I look back at my past, I feel as though that in my past I should have had something that I didn't have. So now that I look at life through the lenses of being fair, meaning that I think that if I do this and live right, like they was telling me in my house, then I would be able to have these things over here. But I was wind up getting different results over here in my life when they were telling me things over here was this way. So now I look back, I'm angry and I'm resentful, and I'm resentful because I'm reliving past experiences that are engulfed in dissatisfaction, displeasure, and anger. And when I look back, I see something behind that then threatens my inability to be able to be present, because I'm looking behind trying to walk forward. And now that I'm looking behind trying to walk forward, my future looks bleak, because everything I look for in my future is a demonstration of what I'm looking for in my past. And then when I evaluate it off of my current present condition, my situation, then my future doesn't look good. And fear crops up, because fear says, if it's like it was yesterday and I'm living the way it is today, then what the hell my tomorrow's going to be like? So I'm going to say this. I got my 5-minute check. Me and Tex, we cool. We don't even need to play this psychological game like take time on each other. When I'm done, she know how I am. She know I turn it over to her. Because I ain't got to say a whole lot to say something powerful. I can say something powerful in a short period of time and move out and live the rest of my life reflecting what I share. That's the best weapon here. The ultimate weapon is the individual who lives what they share up here, and you see it. When you don't know who I am up here, you see me in the bathroom and I treat you with respect as another man by saying, excuse me, my brother. Can I get by? Pardon me. I see you need a drink of water. Would you like a drink of water, my sister? Let the reflection of who you are be shown in the way that you live. That's the best message you can ever carry to anybody, is to live it. I'm done. Listen to this. I'm done. Listen to this. I didn't give y'all the solution. I want to give y'all the solution, then I'm done. I'm done texting. You can go from here. Just want to just give a solution. Because I don't want everybody to be left with all of this resentment, anger, and fear, and not knowing how to get resolution. Because then we're going to have a whole bunch of dope fiends walking out here dysfunctionally and not knowing that the steps are the solution. I don't want you leaving out here not knowing that the steps are the solution. In Narcotics, we're given a new way of life. And listen what it says. A new set of tools. A new set of tools. The handyman that played with the plastic tools now plays with the hammer, the drill, and the bits. He ain't playing with plastic tools no more trying to drill into a wall. He put the toys away and now he's picked up his manly tools. These are the 12 steps. And we work them to the best of our ability. If we stay clean and can learn to practice these spiritual principles in all of our affairs, a miracle happens. What happens is that we find freedom. And listen to what it says. I got a 10th grade education, but watch this. It says we find freedom, and then there's a slash. When there's a slash in anything, watch where the slash is, because the slash starts to give you examples in detail. Watch this. We find freedom, slash, from drugs, comma, from addiction, comma. So for all those who think that it's just about drugs and it's not about the disease of addiction, drugs, addiction, comma, and from self-obsession. Resentment is replaced with acceptance, anger is replaced with love, and fear is replaced with faith. That's the triangle of self-obsession. My name is Aaron B. I love you guys. God bless you.